In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and you shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Fatima, St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Ignatius Loyola,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Good evening. Just refreshing your memory, our program is our desire to consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary. And as St. Louis de Montfort says, as well as the great Marian saints, we affirm that the quickest, shortest, easiest, most efficacious way to the heart of Christ is through the heart of Mary. If you like, Mary is the shortcut to arrive at Christ. So all of us are called to become saints. As Jesus said, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. This is the will of your heavenly Father, your sanctification. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for holiness, they will be satisfied. So if we're aiming at true holiness of life, we may as well choose the shortcut. So the shortcut is through our consecration to Mary. And as I've already said many times, consecration to Mary is really consecration to Christ. We cannot separate the mother from the son. Mary echoes what Christ says. As you meditated last week, the last words of Mary recorded in the Gospel are recorded in John chapter 2, verse 5, which Mary says, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. That's the best advice in the world. Best advice in the world is to do whatever he tells you. Do whatever Jesus tells us to do, that we want to do. Saint John the 23rd was canonized with Saint John Paul II. He prayed the 15 decades of the Rosary every day, as does Pope Francis. He prayed three rosaries. Pope Francis prays three rosaries also, maybe four. Said that the rosary is a summary of the gospel or a compendium of the gospel. Now, John the 23rd said this. Obviously, he said this more than 50 years ago, before we had the luminous mysteries. Now that we have the luminous mysteries, that prophetic statement of John 23rd rings all the more true. Because the joyful mysteries are a summary of the incarnation of the Son of God. In the very heart of the joyful mysteries is Christmas. The incarnation means that the Son of God became man. But the Son of God became man through the collaboration of Mary. It was through Mary's yes that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. As we read in the prologue of St. John, chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So by meditating upon the joyful mysteries, the purpose of this course is to contemplate the face of Christ through the eyes and heart of Mary. That's the summary of my book. Contemplate the face of Christ through the eyes and heart of Mary. You get to understand with greater depth, profundity, the mystery of the Incarnation. So when Mary said, yes, in Latin it's the fiat, when she said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. That was the most important moment up to that time in the history of the world. That was the moment in which God the Father sent his Son into the world through the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. And Mary conceived Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. So 2 weeks ago, you're meditating upon that, and I hope you were just in awe. You were basically in awe. You're thinking about the fact that Mary said, yes, Jesus came into her heart. He came into the world so that we could be saved. We hope that you were just awestruck, almost dumbfounded. Maybe some of you were catapulted into ecstasy at the mere thought of Mary's yes being instrumental for our salvation. My friends, if Mary didn't say yes, none of us could go to heaven. That's very important. I'm sure all of you want to go to heaven. Without the yes, we would not have the Incarnation. There's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior. And Mary was instrumental in the work of the Incarnation, the work of redemption, the work of our salvation. So all of us should be humbly grateful as well as joyful in the reality of Mary's yes. That's why as we draw closer to our day of consecration, which is going to be on the 2nd of February, which is the presentation of the child Jesus in the temple, we want to be building upon a deeper union with Mary. My desire and my ideal, and maybe I'm an idealist more than a realist when I wrote my book, is that all of us will really establish a very, very deep relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary, where Mary becomes real to you. Mary is not simply a mythical, ethereal, abstruse figure that lived 2,000 years ago far away from where we are, but Mary is real today. So I love that song in Italian and Spanish, Santa Maria del Camino. You know what that means? Santa Maria del Camino means Our Lady of the Way. If you ever go to the Church of Gesù in Rome, where the body of Saint Ignatius is buried, you're going to notice that there's a plaque of the Virgin of Saint Ignatius, which would be, how's your Italian? La Madonna della Strada. La Madonna della Strada. Parla Italiano? La Madonna della Strada means Santa Maria del Camino in Spanish. Our Lady of the Way. Is Mary more real to you now?
Yes.
Is she closer to you?
Yes.
Do you feel her presence?
Yes.
You feel her love?
Yes.
Feel her tenderness?
Yes.
The program is working. It's working. See, the way I wrote this book, and I think my book is very, very simple, but also there's depth to it. You notice I'm constantly saying, okay, now stop and talk to Mary, right? So you've heard, you meditate upon the visitation, okay, you're walking now. As you walk, stop and talk to Mary. As Jesus was born in the stable at Bethlehem, Mary gives you the baby Jesus. Look at Jesus in your arms and talk to Mary. Jesus is presented in the temple. You traveled with Mary to the temple. Stop and talk to Joseph and then talk to Mary and talk to the child Jesus. So you see, this is very, most of you have done the exercise with me. This is very Ignatian. Very Ignatian. What's the Ignatian word? It's called a colloquy, right? Some of you have read maybe the writings of the greatest writer in the English language in the 19th century. English spiritual writer. His name is Cardinal Newman, right? What does he say prayer is? A heart-to-heart conversation with God. Heart-to-heart colloquy. So we hope and we pray that as we arrive at the midpoint, right now we're at the very midpoint of our course, that Mary's becoming more real to you. That you're getting up and you're consecrating your day to Mary. You're talking to Mary. You're saying the Angelus maybe at 9 o'clock, consecrating your morning to Mary. You're praying the Angelus maybe at 12 and 6 o'clock to consecrate the evening and night to Mary. You're starting off your day, giving that first hour to Mary. And you're keenly aware of Mary's presence in your life. Mary's becoming your disciple. You're becoming her disciple, rather. Mary's becoming your best friend. Mary's becoming she's truly becoming your mother. And as I said last week, quoting St. Augustine, put all the love of all the mothers of all time together. The love that Mary has for you is much greater than that. Did you hear that? Put all the love of all the mothers of all time together. The love that Mary has is greater than all that put together. How deep that is. So this program is a falling in love with Christ through the presence of Mary. You got to know the incarnation, the private life of Christ. Now last week, you meditated upon the new mysteries in the Rosary. Myself, having prayed the Rosary more than a half a century, as I'm betraying my age, you know, I always felt that there was a missing link. What do you mean by a missing link? That you're meditating upon the mystery of the Rosary and you're jumping from the cave of Bethlehem to the cross. But there was something missing. So John Paul II, in his document, The Blessed Virgin Mary of the Rosary, incorporated a new series of mysteries. And those mysteries are called the luminous mysteries, or the mysteries of life, light. So if you read through the Gospels, 75% of the Gospel is the public life of Christ. You got the two bookends are what? The Incarnation and then the Paschal Mystery. Paschal Mystery means the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Christ. What about the heart of the Gospel? That's called the public life of Christ. For that reason, John Paul II, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gave us these new mysteries. I don't know about you people, I have fallen in love with them. Have you? And see, another fruit of this book that I wrote is that maybe many of you have been praying the Rosary for many years. But now when you pray the Rosary, it becomes much more real. There's greater depth because you're spending, if you're obeying what I've told you to do, you're spending an hour on each of these mysteries until we finish the course. So these mysteries that you've prayed very quickly, maybe the past 40 years of your life, you're spending a good hour in plumbing the depths, which I called a spiritual gold mine, or a spiritual mine filled with diamonds. And we're not simply glossing over them, but we're pulling them out and polishing them. She went in depth into the baptism of Christ, renewing your own baptismal commitment. You sat down at a table with Jesus and Mary at the wedding feast of Cana. You tasted the wine. How was the wine anyway? Did you taste it? Was it pretty cheap wine or was it good wine? Was it a cheap wine?
No.
How do you know? You tasted it, huh? Then you opened up your heart and you told Mary, you gave Mary a biographical summary of your life. Then Mary looked and you said, tell me the wounds in your heart. Hopefully opened up. We're all wounded. And as Henri Nouwen says, either we become wounded wounders or wounded healers. Either we are wounded wounders or wounded healers. If we can go to Mary and Jesus with our wounds, then they heal us. We can be wounded healers in a broken world. Amen? That's what you garnered from the wedding feast of Cana. And you sat with Mary at the feet of Jesus and you listened to him preach. You listened to the Beatitudes. What does St. John Paul II say about that? He says, the Beatitudes are a reflection into the very heart of Christ. A mirror into the heart of Christ would be the Beatitudes. But who gave us the heart of Christ? Do you know that Mary formed the heart of Christ? Any mothers here? Do you know that you, during 9 months, you were actually forming the heart of your son and daughter within your womb? Did you ever think about that? You never thought about that, did you? Well, it happened. Mary was forming the Sacred Heart of Jesus within her most pure womb during the 9 months. And St. Louis de Montfort says, Mary wants to form you also. So it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. No longer I who live, but Jesus and Mary who live in me. I'd like to jump to the last mystery, which is one of my favorites of the 20 mysteries of the Rosary. Maybe it's because I'm a priest. The institution of the Eucharist. And one of the fruits of the institution of the Eucharist is you're going to be falling in love with Jesus, the Mass, the Eucharist. Through the heart of Mary. If we really love Christ, then we're going to love the Church. One of the definitions of the Church from Vatican II, taken from St. Paul, is the mystical body of Christ. The mystical body of Christ has a head. It's Jesus Christ. And the members. Who are the members? We're the members of the mystical body of Christ. In the very heart of the mystical body of Christ is the Eucharist. John Paul II says the very heartbeat of the Catholic Church found in the tabernacle. So in the tabernacle you have what? The real presence. The real presence, you've got the heart of Christ. So hopefully meditating upon the mysteries of the Rosary, the institution of the Eucharist, your sacramental life is being enriched. I don't promote Marian apparitions unless they've been approved by the Church. Three of the most famous Marian apparitions, one was in the 16th century, happened in 1531 in the city of Mexico, Our Lady Guadalupe. What did she ask for? What did she ask for? Okay, in the Church, she asked for a church so that people would come to the Church with their needs, their worries, their problems, their struggles, their brokenness, their anxieties, so that she would be able to help them in their problems. What's the very heart of the Church is the sacramental life. Catholic Church really has no meaning. There's no celebration of the Mass. No meaning. So the very heart of the Catholic Church is the celebration of the Mass, the Eucharist that you receive, and Jesus, who stays with us in the tabernacle, he said, I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. How is he with us? In his mystical body, the Church. How is that realized on a daily basis in the holy sacrifice of the Mass? Where was his heart beating? In the Blessed Sacrament. For that reason, Pope John Paul II says, in every Mass, we have the reenactment of Calvary. He also says, in every Mass, the Blessed Mother is present at the foot of the cross in every Mass. Did you know that? JP2. It's invisible. So every time you come to a Mass that I'm celebrating, or any priest for that matter, right next to me is the Blessed Mother. If you understand that, your Mass is going to be much more rich. Your Mass is going to be enhanced 100% if you believe what we're teaching you tonight. She's there, Stabat Mater. If she was there at the foot of the cross 2,000 years ago, what is the Mass? The Mass is Calvary, my friends. That's Calvary relived in a mystical but very real way. And of the many teachings of John Paul II, one of my favorites is this, related to the fifth luminous mystery. He says that the fiat of Mary, when she said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word," that moment there was the incarnation in the woman heart of Mary. But John Paul II makes this parallel. When the priest says to you, "The body of Christ," what do you say?
Amen.
What do you say?
Amen.
Amen means you believe.
Yes.
You open up your mouth and you consume the host. The host is the body of Christ, but also is the body of Mary. John Paul II says, our amen in every communion is parallel to Mary's fiat when she says, "Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord." Understand that?
Yes.
So, if you're doing these exercises well, and you're plumbing the depths of the fifth luminous mystery, one of the natural consequences is this. You're going to feel a magnetic attraction to come to church, a magnetic, almost irresistible drawing to come to the heartbeat of the church, and an irresistible desire to go to Mass every day. And an irresistible desire to receive communion every day. If you like, if I can quote the poet of the Old Testament, "As a deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God." David the poet, the psalmist. What did Our Lady ask for in 1858 in Lourdes? What did a lady ask for in 1917 in Fatima, Portugal? Did she ask for a church also? So Mary in Guadalupe, Lourdes, and Fatima, she asked for a church. Very interesting. Very interesting. Over the past year, that's fascinated me. I mean, Mary's asked for other things, and Lourdes, she asked for penance also. Fatima, she's 6 times she said, "Pray the rosary," right? Guadalupe, she basically asked for trust in her maternal love and protection, right? But each of those 3 times she asked for a church. So, to love Mary is to love Jesus. To love Jesus is to love the church. To love the church is to love the sacramental life. To love the sacramental life is to love the greatest of all sacraments. And the greatest of all sacraments is the Eucharist. Thomas Aquinas compares the Eucharist to a fulcrum where you got a wheel with six spokes. And the fulcrum in the middle is the Eucharist. So all the six sacraments, like arrows, are all pointing to the Eucharist. The other six sacraments, they communicate grace, right? But you can't say the other sacraments are Jesus. But the Eucharist is Jesus. It's a huge difference. Huge difference. The other sacraments, they sanctify us. But you can't say the other sacraments are God. The Eucharist is God. And who brought that God to the world? The Immaculate Heart of Mary. So I cannot insist too much in begging Mary fervently with great faith and humility to augment your love for the church. Augment your love for the sacraments. To augment your love for the Eucharist. Mary wants Eucharistic souls. Mary wants apostles of the Eucharist. Mary wants Eucharistic adorers. What happened in 1916 in Fatima? The angel appeared to the children. Have any of you read Fatima? The angel appeared three times. What happened in the last apparition? The three little children lifted up their eyes and he had the angel. And there, suspended in the air, you could see the white host and you could see the chalice. What did the angel say? Take and receive the Eucharist. Console your God who is so offended by so many sins. And Jacinta and Francisco, they took from the chalice. And Lucia, the host, very symbolic. Do you know what the chalice means in the Bible 90% of the time? Suffering. That's going to be your meditation tomorrow morning. It's going to be the chalice. Your meditation tomorrow morning is the first sorrowful mystery. Why? Because within about a year and a half, those two little children would be dead. Did they suffer? Yeah. Incredibly. A lady appeared to Jacinta in the hospital in Lisbon and said, are you willing to suffer more to save souls? What did Jacinta say?
Yes.
Always yes. And when John Paul II beatified Jacinta and Francisco, what did John Paul II call Francisco? A little mystic. Where Jacinta called her a little victim soul. Do you know what that is? What's a victim?
She suffers.
Suffers for a purpose. Suffer to console the heart of God, as Father Mike Gately points out in his writings, right? Suffer to repair for sin. Suffer for the conversion of sinners. That's the reason of suffering. Suffering is not an isolated, narcissistic act that has no connection with the supernatural, but rather suffering for us has redemptive value. St. Maximilian Kolbe, says the spiritual life has three steps. They are prayer, work, and suffering. That's Colby. We got to pray. That's why we're here. We got to work. Can't be lazy. But also we have to suffer. Do you like to suffer? Are you great at suffering? Does suffering have meaning? Does it have value? So there's another point, and that's going to be one of the salient points of this week, is the importance of what is called redemptive suffering through the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary. Redemptive suffering through the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary. Suffering in and of itself has no value. It's neutral. Once suffering is accepted and it's united to Mary, the Mass and the Cross, suffering has infinite value. Suffering has infinite value. So suffering is either going to make you better or bitter. Make you either better or bitter. Either the suffering sanctifies you or it crushes you. You ever meet broken people? People that suffer, but they don't know what to do with their suffering. They're broken. They're bitter. They're angry. Crotchety. Cantankerous. No? And they spew it out on other people too. It's not kept to themselves. So the last portion of this talk is I'd like to go with you now to Calvary and like to give you a Marian Ignatian reflection on Mary at the foot of the cross. Because this is going to be one of your meditations this week, and it's going to be the heart of your meditation this week is going to be crucifixion and death of Christ. But this is, I hope and pray, is going to be much different than the other times in which you meditate upon this. Because you're going to be contemplating this mystery through the eyes in the heart of Mary. So don't forget, for the crucifixion and death of Christ, Mary was present there. She was present there. How many mothers here would be strong enough to witness your child to be crucified? Just the thought of that makes you faint. So I invite you to, with courage, enter into the heart of Mary. There we see an incredible strength. Incredible courage, always motivated by love. As the Song of Songs says, love is stronger than death. Then Mary sees the soldiers extend the hand of Christ and pound the nail, then the nails into the hands of Christ. You want to be present there. And I would even say, stay close to Mary, maybe even embrace Mary. As you see Magdalene doing, as you see John the Evangelist. See, as Americans, we tend to be very cerebral. Not totally wrong, but we tend to be so cerebral that we don't go down into the heart. We want to move from the head to the heart. Let your heart be moved. Beg for the grace to enter into the heart of Mary. And then see the blood coming forth from the hands and feet of Jesus. Do you know that that blood that came forth from the hands and feet inside of Jesus? Who gave Jesus that blood? It's given by Mary. Mary gave Jesus what is called his humanity. Let your heart be moved to love, compassion, to trust. See them lifting up the cross. Stay close to Mary. Don't move from her side. Most famous hymns of Mary, Jacopo di Todi, you know, the Stabat Mater, about 30 different verses. Stabat Mater, which means, there she stood at the foot of the cross. Strong woman. Father Tim Gallagher, in one of his meditations, said that one of the people he was directing through the exercises spent a whole hour meditating on just listening to the drops of blood fall to the ground, trickle, trickle. Does that say anything to you? Like a faucet, but it's not the faucet, but it's blood. Drop, drop, drop. You think Mary heard that? Was she aware of that? Console Mary. Talk to Mary. Tell Mary you love her. Thank Mary. Be close to her. Embrace her. Try to enter into her heart. So this is done. You really have an opportunity to go really deep in your spiritual life, deeper than you've ever been in your life. But it's all through Mary. Jesus hangs on the cross. Therefore, the evangelists say, probably close to about 3 hours. Mary stood beneath the cross. And not only did Mary see Jesus, but also she heard what he said. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. What does Jesus and Mary teach us? The word is to be merciful. You might enter into the depths of your heart with courage and ask, is there anyone in my life that hurt me that I have not fully forgiven yet? See, these exercises with Mary are challenging us to go deep within our own souls. And come to awareness of our wounds. There's a good chance that for a lot of us, there is someone that hurt us in the past that we haven't fully forgiven. And as a result of that, we're really not at peace. There's some intranquility in the depths of our heart, a little bit of anxiety. Wouldn't it be great just to talk to Mary about this? Will she listen to you? Will she obtain the grace to be merciful? Don't forget that Mary, underneath the cross, God the Father wanted her to forgive all those who brutally massacred her son. Did Mary harbor any thoughts of resentment, bitterness, anger, vindictiveness? See what a noble heart you have here. What nobility. And what a motivation for us to go to her heart and ask us to give us at least a drop of the holiness of the heart of Mary. Jesus said, I thirst. You know what Jesus and Mary thirst for? As Jesus hung on the cross? What's that? What Jesus and Mary thirsted for more than anything else was the salvation of immortal souls. That's the whole purpose of Jesus dying on the cross and Mary being underneath the cross, was to save all of humanity, but to save us also. I love Augustine. Augustine says this, quoted in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, God hungers that you hunger for him. God thirsts that you thirst for him. Pure Augustine. God hungers that you hunger for him. God thirsts that you thirst for him. Then we have, Jesus says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. How's your Hebrew? My God, why have you forsaken me? So the message I think that Mary wants us to contemplate or meditate upon that is this. We all go through our dark tunnels. We all have to go through what is called the dark night of the soul, John of the Cross. We all go through our own Calvary experience. We all go through times in which we experience a certain amount of abandonment. We all go through times in which we question, why me? So in those dark tunnel experiences, we have to run to Mary. And grasp the hand of Mary. And of course we have possibly, which might be the whole heart of this week, is Jesus as he hangs from the cross. His blood is dripping. His breathing is becoming more difficult. He looks below the cross and he sees the two people that he loves most. Also Magdalene too. But the two people he loved most were Mary and St. John the Evangelist, St. John the Beloved. These are the words that he addressed to Mary and he addresses to us. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. And from that moment, the beloved disciple took her into his home. Go deep into those words. Plumb the depths. Don't stay on the surface. Plumb the depths. Orthodox traditional Catholic teaching over years has explained that biblical verse in this way. Jesus hanging on the cross, he's looking at his mother who he loves so much, and he's aware of her suffering, as well as his best friend. And by saying, woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother, Jesus was giving his mother to St. John the Evangelist, who would take Mary into his home in Ephesus, but also he'd be taking Mary into his heart. But the translation also, the interpretation also is that in that moment, John the Evangelist represents all of humanity. So each and one of you, in the person of John the Evangelist, Jesus was seeing you. You were the beloved disciple who Jesus wanted to entrust to Mary so that Mary would be your spiritual mother. Now you mothers, and many mothers here, you love your children. As I said a half hour ago, your love for your children is strong. But the love the Blessed Mother has for you is a million times stronger. It never wanes. Our love, it fluctuates. Sometimes we get angry at our kids, right? Drive us bananas at times, right? Drive us crazy, huh? They do. Some of us are getting gray hair, huh? Or maybe even losing our hair, huh? Mary's love was not like the roller coaster. Mary's love was like a rocket that went to the moon. Her love never fluctuated. It grew and grew and grew and grew until her assumption, what is she doing now? You think Mary's less active in heaven or more active in heaven? Well, we'll be arriving at that next week, right? But Mary, even though she's assumed into heaven body and soul, Mary is very active in heaven, working 24/7 as a loving mother, interceding for us, begging the Lord the grace that we need so that we can arrive at where she's at, heaven. So I invite all of you in that mystery, if you've not connected with that concept yet, plumb the depths of the fact that Mary is truly your loving mother. And you can always turn to Mary. Now, all of us have suffered in our lives in that sometimes when you were a child, you wanted your mother's attention, you wanted to talk with her, and maybe she was just too busy, and that hurt. Right? Whereas Mary is never too busy to enter into conversation and dialogue with you. When you want to talk to Mary, she's never going to say, talk to me tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Every day, every hour, every minute, every second, Mary is always available to listen to you, to talk to you, to console you, to guide you, to love you, and bring you closer to the heart of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Mary has to become more and more real. More and more real. So that's Mary's spiritual maternity started in her Immaculate Conception. Then it became a more powerful reality in the Incarnation. But it's blossoming where? Underneath the cross. And it fully blossoms on Pentecost with the coming of the Holy Spirit. So the different stages of the development of Mary's maternal presence in the life of the church as well as in our lives. Now that Mary is reigning in heaven as Queen of Heaven and Earth. I love what St. Therese says. St. Therese says, Mary is queen and mother, but she's more mother than queen. That's St. Therese, a little flower. No? Mary's queen, but she's mother. But she's more mother than queen. What would impress your child more? You having a crown on your head or your arms open to embrace your child? Of course. Mary is a beautiful crown, but she has her loving arms and heart open to receive us. So this week is going to be the best week. And I'd like to end with one last thought as we contemplate Stabat Mater at the foot of the cross. And it's just a little bit of theology. This is not a Mariology course, but it's good to know good Orthodox Marian doctrine. There's a strong movement from Mark Miravalli from Steubenville to try to get the fifth Marian dogma proclaimed, which would be Mary is mediatrix, co-redemptrix, and co-adjutrix. Okay? And those are three statements from Lumen Gentium chapter 8, which is probably the most important Marian document in the past 60 years. Lumen Gentium chapter 8. Mary is the mediatrix of all graces. All graces come to us through Mary. Mary is the coadjutrix. What does that mean? John Bosco called Mary the help of Christians. In our needs, she's always there to help us. But Mary is the co-redemptrix. Most of you have probably read all the encyclicals of John Paul II, right? What was the first? Redemptor Hominus, which would be Christ the Redeemer of man, and that sets the platform of his whole pontificate. First encyclical, the first two words, is a statement of where he's going to be heading, which is going to be a pontificate focusing upon Christ the Redeemer. What was the first Marian encyclical? Any people working in Dow? Mater Redentoris, Mary, the mother of the Redeemer. So there beneath the cross, Mary is not only the mother of all of humanity, and Mary is the mother of each one of you, my mother too. But also Mary is the co-redemptrix. What does that mean? Jesus is the only Redeemer. We're redeemed through Christ. Salvation comes through Christ. But co-redemptrix means that Mary collaborated intimately with Jesus in the salvation of the world. Most specifically, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, Mary was like a priest. She was underneath the cross as the priest is celebrating the Mass, and she was offering Jesus Christ, the God the Father, for the salvation of the whole world. So let us praise and thank God. We have a loving mother that loves us so much. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lady of Sorrows, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.